Hey, I'm Bree, the host of the What on Earth Can We Do podcast. This season, we've been exploring food waste, where it comes from, why it matters, and the creative ways Albertans are tackling it. In today's episode, we're heading to Lacombe, Alberta, to meet the team behind Echo Food Rescue, a volunteer-driven organization that's rescued nearly 1 million pounds of food since 2020. Their work doesn't just keep good food out of the landfill, it's feeding people, supporting local farms, and bringing an entire community together. Joining me is Christina Sturgeon, the program's coordinator, to talk about how this small town initiative got started, what it takes to keep it running, and how communities across Alberta can build something similar. Christina, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, really excited to chat about Echo Food Rescue. You know, I visited Echo Food Rescue this summer when we came to film the Emerald documentary series, but to have the opportunity to sit down and really dig deep into it is really exciting. So for people who aren't familiar with Echo Food Rescue and what you do, can you explain what the problem you're working to solve is and why this kind of work is needed in a community like Lacombe?
So the problem we're looking to solve is it's a couple different things. One is keeping food out of the landfill. Food waste is just a huge problem. That's our main goal. But in saying that, there's a few other things that happen because of what we're doing. One of the biggest ones is, you know, putting that food back into the community, which, you know, helps everybody in the community. You know, you listen to conversations about or read things about, you know, the problems we're going to have feeding the population. I think it's in 2050, maybe even 2030. And they're looking at solutions for that. And, you know, from my perspective, just looking at how do we waste less food, and there would that whole feeding your community, you know, as the population grows, would be less of a conversation if we had more conversations around making sure we're not wasting as much food as we are currently.
Absolutely. And to that point of how much food we're wasting, you see, and I saw firsthand at least one day of waste from just a couple grocery stores in Lacombe. How common is it for good edible food to end up in the garbage, even in smaller communities like Lacombe?
Oh, it's so common. You just think about the amount of food that we're bringing in Lacombe, and we're just a small group of volunteers and myself, and we have, you know, a handful of different places, different stores, restaurants, farms that we work with in the community, and we're bringing in thousands of pounds of food every month. Like literally on average, it's about 30,000 pounds a month. 30,000 pounds a month.
Oh my goodness.
Crazy. And that's only like such a tiny portion of the businesses that could be working with us and donating this food to the food rescue. That being said, you know, what we do there is we take in any and all food, and then our volunteers sort that food, and we split it up between what is still good edible food, good for human consumption, and then whatever isn't good still, we have partners who are farms, and we send that to farms for animal consumption. So yeah, the scale of food waste, like I can't even, it's hard. I see it every day, and it's hard for me to even imagine if every single thing that was wasted was put in a pile. I mean, I don't even think you'd have a space big enough in Lacombe for that pile, you know, every month. So yeah, it's crazy.
And when you think about that, Lacombe is in comparison to Edmonton and Calgary, a smaller community in Alberta. And if you think about the fact that there are, like, I can't even count how many grocery stores, I couldn't even try, in Alberta. And, you know, the day that we visited you, I think there were two grocery stores that we were picking up from, and to see the amount of waste. But then when you compound that across the province and across Canada and across the world, you know, this season we've talked about the large scale of food waste and how big of an issue it is. But when you really stop and get to see it firsthand, the way that Echo Food Rescue does, and then you think about the compounding impacts across the globe, it really becomes tangible. And you guys have rescued nearly 500,000 pounds of food since 2022. That number might have changed to be even more since the last time we spoke. What does that kind of impact look like in terms of the environment? How are you helping the environment by saving this food?
Well, you know, to put it into perspective, and it actually, you know, when you're working on this every day, every year I You know, daily we add up our weights, and, you know, yearly we add up the weights and put that out to the community. This year we saved this many thousand pounds of food, or hundreds of thousands of pounds of food. But until the Emerald Awards came about, I had never, and this is crazy, but I had never added all those years together. And to put it into perspective, how much food waste is out there, we are, by the end of this year, we'll be at approximately 900,000 pounds of food rescued. Going into next year, we'll be working on our 1 million pounds. And my estimate would be around June or July of next year, we'd be at 1 million pounds. That's since 2020. That's 5 years in a community of 14,000 people. So now take that impact and divide up Calgary or Edmonton into neighborhoods of 14, 15,000 people, and then take that 1 million pounds and just imagine how quickly that would compound within the larger communities like that. And like I said before, we're only rescuing a very small portion of the amount of food that's actually going to waste in our community. So yeah, the impact is incredible. And, you know, if you look at it from the environmental perspective, just imagine, and I don't have exact numbers in front of me, but how much greenhouse gas that keeps out of our environment, that 1 million pounds of food. Like, and not only is it, you know, doing things to help the environment, but it's also going back into the community portions of that, and also helping people within our community, you know, not only, and we don't ask anyone anything when they come to pick food up. So we're not like a food bank where you have to qualify. We just want people to come and get it and use it. And truthfully, we're at a point where we have so much food. If we were, you know, controlling who was coming to pick it up, we would have food left over and we'd be throwing it out too. So we just want people to come and get it, put it on their plate, eat it, use it. That's what it was grown for, produced for, instead of having it rot in a landfill. So yeah, the impact is crazy on the environment.
Absolutely. To hear about, you know, in a 5 year span, 6 year span, a million pounds from, like you said, a small community of 14,000 people is absolutely incredible. And one of the pieces that really struck me when we came to visit you was the fact that I believe you are the only employee of Echo Food Rescue and the rest is all run by volunteers. This is such a community driven effort. It was really incredible for me and Marissa, our executive director, to come in and see people just so, so excited to contribute to this incredible cause. You know, when the van is backing up into the building so that people can unload the food that you just picked up from grocery stores, they were just, you could see the excitement in their faces, those doors open and they're just, they're on it, they're ready. And then to see the people who are coming to pick up this food, the enthusiasm that they have, it was really incredible. Marissa and I were really moved after we left and we thought, why do we not have this in every single community? So, you know, I'd love to hear your perspective on this community involvement of these volunteers and then how that affects the program.
Definitely. I work and volunteer with a few different organizations, and getting volunteers is always a big topic of conversation. You know, it's tricky for some places to get enough volunteers to operate. Echo, however, is not one of those places. So I think there's a couple things that have happened over the last 5 years. Not only do we rescue a lot of food, which is a wonderful thing, but we also have built this community of people. So not only a community of volunteers, you know, they've developed their own community. They work together every day. They help each other. You know, they're doing something great for the environment. They're doing something great for the community. I always say to people, it's hard to have a bad day when you're giving away food, right? Like it's just good for the inside of you to be there all the time. But it's also built this community of people on the outside of the building. So meaning I call them our food rescue partners, because without them coming to pick the food up, we wouldn't have anything to do, right? And it's built this great community outside of the building. You know, they come early, they set up their chairs, they drink coffee, they, you know, chat, they get to know each other, they give each other rides. If somebody's not feeling well, they'll pick up for the other person. So on both sides, it's built this great community. And I think it's become a place where, you know, on the volunteer side of it. You just belong there. You know you're doing great things in the community. You know, I always say, yes, I am the only paid employee there, but I'm not really the boss. They are the boss of me. I just do things like, you know, the things that nobody else wants to do, right? Set the schedules and those kind of things. But yeah, without them, like, I couldn't do what I do there. You know, they just make my life and my job really easy because they're so committed to what we're doing.
And another key piece of this whole picture, this whole puzzle, is not just you, not just the volunteers, but the grocery stores that you work with. And I'd love to dive into that a little bit more, because when we were visiting you in Lacombe, we were talking about how you got these businesses on board, you know, what the relationship is like with them, and how they determine what food is going to be sent to you guys to be rescued. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So that has been one of the more difficult pieces of my job. When I first came into it, we had one large grocery store chain that we were working with already. But in order to build the amount of food that we're bringing in, I had to find a way to get others on board. And the tricky part about it really is a lot of time that corporate, you know, ideas around the food donation. And so it took quite a few years to build that up. Originally, we were working with the one grocery store, some restaurants, some farms, quite a few farms in the area are really great. And then it took a few years to get some more grocery stores on board. But now I feel like we're starting to kind of, you know, we're not starting to win them over. We already have won them over. They see the value in what we're doing, because not only are we asking to take the food that, you know, is still edible, but we're taking everything. So in building relationships with farms who are wanting to pick up to use some of it as animal feed, that's allowed us to go into a grocery store and take all of what they have. So now we're providing a service for them, and, you know, and they're doing a good thing for the environment. Instead of this just going into a dumpster and going to the landfill, you know, it's going back into the community. It's not only helping people, it's helping animals. It's, you know, so building that relationship with the grocery stores has been probably one of the most difficult pieces for me. But it's definitely been rewarding. And I hope that we are, you know, trailblazers in the way that if we can create something that works really well on both sides, that the next organization that comes along after us has a little bit of an easier time getting into these grocery stores.
To that point of kind of talking about some of the challenges when it comes to building in those grocery stores, kind of selling the idea to them, for communities who are listening to this episode right now, or individual community members who are saying, oh my goodness, this sounds incredible. I've had this idea in the past that I wanted to do similar to this, or this has sparked something in their minds. What advice would you give them to help them create something similar, whether it's in a small community like Lacombe or in a larger community like Edmonton or Calgary? What would your advice be to them?
I would say get your community involved. You know, like, really, this is a real community effort. We have a vehicle that's partially sponsored by Lacombe Ford. That's the only way we could afford a brand new electric vehicle, which kind of goes along with what we're doing too. We have a space that is, you know, we pay our rent, but it's heavily sponsored by the business that's in the rest of that space. We have so many different community groups that, you know, do different things. You know, we need something fixed. I put it out to the community and somebody, you know, just comes and helps. And there's just so many different ways that the community is helping with that. So that would be my first thing, because first off, you need a space to be able to do the sorting and, you know, bring the people together and then distribute the food. Secondly, you know, you need a vehicle to be able to pick up the food. So those are the two biggest things. And really, your community could be a huge resource for that. And that's how it works in Lacombe. The other thing that we're very lucky in Lacombe that we have is we have what's called the Eco Lacombe Association. And they're the ones that fund this program. So that would be the other key thing, would be to find organizations that are willing to fund, or, you know, create your own nonprofit so that you can apply for grant funding and those sorts of things. And then the biggest thing is go out there and find, you know, businesses, farms, restaurants, grocery stores that are wanting to and willing to work with you and get going. Like, we started with one store, and then I actually have this amazing volunteer who has great connections in the community, in the farming community, and he started bringing on different farms in the area. So that, you know, it just starts with one, you know, one person has this idea and they find more people in the community that are willing to support, and it just kind of grows from there.
Absolutely. I think it takes a village. You know, anything that you're wanting to do that has the end result that's purely just beneficial. There's no profit to it. It's just you want to do something good for people and for the environment. I think you need to come together as a community and make that happen and really rely on not just the resources that other people have, whether that's connections, but really just the excitement and the passion. Because I think when you have a group of people that come together with that shared passion, you can make a lot of incredible things happen, even if you don't have the most resources. But I think that it's really good to hear from your perspective, you know, that there are challenges. You do need a space. You're going to need funding for certain things. You need those connections. You're going to need a vehicle. So to kind of have that broad understanding of how a program like this works is really useful. I hope that people listening are inspired to create something like Echo Food Rescue in communities across Alberta and across Canada, because I think the one thing I've learned from this season, speaking to experts and people who are on the ground, is this is a huge issue, but it's an invisible issue that, you know, a lot of food waste happens at home, but a lot of food waste also happens at the grocery store. And because when we go to the grocery store, we're just seeing what's put out. We're not seeing what's in the dumpster or, you know, at home. So I'm so grateful, Christina, for you joining us on the podcast to talk about this really incredible organization that you have and the incredible impact that it has had across Lacombe.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you about that. And, you know, maybe it spurs somebody else to connect with me and, you know, I can help them out in some way to get going.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Christina, for joining me on the podcast today. It's been so wonderful having you.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Christina and the entire Echo Food Rescue team. They're proof that big change can start in small communities. If this conversation has you thinking about what's possible in your own community, check out the show notes for links to Echo Food Rescue and resources to help you get started. The What on Earth Can We Do podcast is a program of the Alberta Emerald Foundation, a registered charity focused on accelerating environmental excellence across Alberta. To learn more about the Alberta Emerald Foundation, head to our website, emeraldfoundation.ca, or follow us on social media at Alberta Emerald. A big thank you to our sponsors who make this podcast possible: the Government of Alberta, the Forest Resource Improvement Association of Alberta, Pathways Alliance, the City of Edmonton, the City of Calgary, and the TD Friends of the Environment Foundation. See you next time.